Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. This is the daily podcast edition of our ministry. We do this 7 times a week, where we're walking through different passages of the Bible. Lately, we've been in the book of Psalms, taking a look at those Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens. We also have a long version of the podcast every Wednesday and Sunday, and since today is Sunday, wherever you get this podcast, go check out the long version. It's nearly an hour long. It's a message. I told you all about it yesterday, but it's a message from our new series that we're doing in our monthly meetings in Georgia, God Provides a Lamb. I think you'll enjoy it. I was thinking before I got started today about the theme of this last couple months, I guess, maybe longer. We've been working on these Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens, and I think at first I felt it was necessary to say that because I just had to title it something. You know, we had to talk about what it is we're going to talk about, and you so that you could know there's going to be this consistency when you come back every day. But really, I don't know any other way anymore to view these stories. I mean, we could put forth the effort to view them as good stories of principle, advice, roadmap, whatever. But I see them as shadows of Jesus, and I see him standing in those shadows, trying to reveal some truth about the love of his Father, some truth about our redemption. And so, though I say it as a way to sort of subtitle the podcast, which is Old Testament Stories of the New Covenant Lens, I don't know that it's the more you have a revelation of the finished work, the love of the Father, I don't know that it's possible to read them without that lens. You'd have to put forth a real effort, and you wouldn't want to, because wherever you investigate the scriptures and you don't see Jesus, there's no life in it. It's purely academic. But even in a worse sense, you can have things that are academic that you're passionate about, but it's hard to get passionate about scriptures where you don't find Jesus. And I'm not going to act as if every single verse of the Bible points to Jesus. I know we like to say that, like the volume of the book's about him. That doesn't mean every word in the book is pointing to Jesus. There's a lot of things about a lot of things in the Bible. But when we have those clear images of him, that's beautiful. When we have those shadowy or sort of cloudy images of him that we can help bring him to the surface, I think those are, in some ways, I was going to say equally beautiful. In some ways, they're even more beautiful because they bring to light truths that maybe we've overlooked. That could be what we're dealing with today as we're in the middle of the 23rd Psalm. Now, the 23rd Psalm is, I said a few days ago, and I stand by it, the most famous chapter in the Bible. I don't think that's arguable. I think probably more people know of at least the theme, the Lord is my shepherd. You can say the Lord is my shepherd, and most people know that you're dealing with the 23rd Psalm. I think even unbelievers, they may not be able to find it. They may not know it's Psalm 23, but they'll tell you, oh, that's in the Bible. Not only is it poetic, but it speaks of God in terms that really not only no other passage, but I think we could probably be safe to say no other religion really masters this definition of God, the Lord, as a shepherd. And we talked about what that really delineates is that we are sheep, and that's not a compliment. It's a compliment to him. It's not a compliment to us. And so when you can come to the place of admitting the Lord is your shepherd, and I don't think you'll do that in the way that you should until you have seen how he finished the work. That's the last verse of Psalm 22. And then you watch the shepherd lead you, lay you down at green pastures, lead you beside still waters, restore your soul. That's your emotions. Lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And then there's a turn in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice in verse 4, he does not lead me. In verse 2, he leads me to pastures and waters. In verse 3, he restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness. There's at least there's 2 times it uses the word lead. There's once it makes me and once it restores me. But it's all his work. He's doing the leading, he's doing the making, he's doing the restoring. And then we enter the picture in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There's no indication in that fourth verse that he leads you into the valley of the shadow of death. And what that tells me is the psalmist understood that you will, from time to time, go into the valley of the shadow of death. And I think what that means is you'll go into a valley. You'll go into a dark place. You'll go into a place where death is on the horizon. You might even be dealing with death in the natural sense, having lost a loved one or dealing with the death of something in your life, your marriage, your finances, your career, whatever, your friendships, your relationships. But it's just the shadow of death. It's not a death that swallows you, even if it feels like it is. It's just something you pass through. You're walking, notice, through the valley of the shadow of death. You lie down by green pastures. You sit next to still waters. You're led in paths of righteousness, but you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and he didn't lead you there. The good news is, if you're in the valley of the shadow of death, know this: God didn't lead you there, but God won't leave you there. So you're not going to go through it by yourself. But the second thing you need to know is you are going to go through it. It's very much like Jesus saying to his disciples, let's go to the other side of the sea. They get in the boat, they go to the other side of the sea. Now in the process of going, they run into a storm that scares them, and they think Jesus has abandoned them, and they wake him up, don't you care we perish? Jesus calms the storm, rebukes their lack of faith. Why? Because he told them they were going to the other side. It's through the valley of the shadow of death. And what you need to know is whatever you're going through today, you're A, going through it. You're not going to die in it. B, he's going through it with you. So even though I walk through it, you didn't lead me here. And some of this is not something you choose. Some of this is just life. You know, life throws you a curve, puts you in the valley of the shadow of death. This is the way it is. Sometimes it's not just life. Sometimes you actually take a step into the valley of the shadow of death. Some of it's the choices you make. Some of it's the stuff you do. Some of it is the consequences of your actions. It doesn't mean that you are left with the consequences of your actions. It means that he walks through your consequences with you. So you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's what you don't have to do while you're there. You don't have to fear evil. Evil's on the hunt. Evil's all around us. You don't have to fear it because, and here's what we know from the New Testament. Perfect love casts out fear. And when you go into the valley of the shadow of death, a lot of times what will happen is you will think you're there because God has separated himself from you. God has abandoned you. God's trying to teach you a lesson. If that's the case, then you don't believe in perfect love. Because if you believed in perfect love, you would realize he could never leave you or forsake you. And because you don't believe in perfect love, you become susceptible to fear. I'm not going to make it. But if you can restore the knowledge that I am perfectly loved, it casts out the fear that's trying to overwhelm you. You do not have to fear evil. It's not yours to fear. So let it go. Don't make it a part of who you are. There's more to say in that fourth verse, and we're going to work on it tomorrow. I'll see you then. Have a great Lord's Day. God bless.